There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Tuesday, and it is the second Tuesday of the month. That means Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran is going to join us. We'll get to that in just a second. I did want to add this in. I made a note this morning listening to Dan and Dalton talking about the sweatiest cities in America. I think Mobile making there's people sitting offices and just crunch data and come up with lists because we all like lists out there. Mobile making 13 on this. The way they judged it, I think they're missing something here. And for my homeboys and homegirls, you'll understand this, because I pointed out that on Sunday, working outside on Sunday, was a four T-shirt day. The T-shirt I had on first thing working in the morning, then had to meet somebody later on in the day, so I had to put on a second T-shirt that wasn't soaking wet, put on that T-shirt. That one goes during the next few hours. It gets soaking wet. I then was working. The sun came out finally. And so I had a long sleeve shirt on with my straw hat because here in my elderly age here, 50 plus, I'm starting to take care of things. And then to go home, I had to get another T-shirt. So four T-shirt days. So I think they should rank how sweaty communities are. If you stay outside all day and do X number of tasks, how many shirts do you have to cycle through? Because, you know, places like we are here, they never dry out. You know, with the humidity. So how many T-shirt days? Maybe that should be the new judgment. Also, coming up in hour number two of the show, Special Agent in Charge, new here in Mobile, Mobile FBI. Special Agent Charge Brown's going to join us. We'll talk about some cybersecurity with him. Also, yes, the First Lady's comments about the, whether it's mispronouncing bodega or talking about breakfast tacos like Jeff did, just will kind of bounce around. What I'll say it this way. Mis primas y primos, does the Democrat patronization of Latins in this country resonate with you, or does it bother you? We'll talk about that later on in the show. All right. And without further ado, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joining us for Ask the Sheriff. Good to see you.
Glad to be here, Sean.
A lot to do here. How about this? This is the story I was going to open the show with. Maybe you can help me with this. So Manhattan bodega worker has now been charged with murder. The person that wanted to avoid confrontation, according to the video that's been out there, a lot of people, you've seen it?
I've seen it. Sure have.
So a New York City bodega worker who was charged with second-degree murder after fatally stabbing an ex-con who stormed into the store during a dispute wanted to avoid the conflict altogether, and you can see in the video, but this assailant keeps coming. This person's been charged with murder. At the same time, the girlfriend of the person who was trying to get this, the person working at the bodega who stabbed him has not been charged with anything. Now, I know that your job is to enforce law in the state of Alabama and the county of Mobile, but you had a lot of time in law enforcement to look at this and know laws elsewhere. Is this rub you wrong? Is this strange?
I thought it was absolute insanity when they charged that gentleman with murder. I mean, I think it was a good killing on his part.
Yeah.
Justified, self-defense, end of story.
But in New York, here's this. I mean, the bigger question, you know, out about district attorneys, you know, it's different around the country. And we have, even in L.A., I think they recalled district attorneys here. San Francisco.
San Francisco. There's a vote coming up in L.A.
In L.A., yeah. Mm-hmm. So you get these George Soros-backed DAs in those places. I don't know how, even if somebody has a liberal look at something, Sheriff, how that's just facts, though, right? Doesn't that cut through in a place even like New York?
Ultimately, it will, and thank goodness for higher courts, you know, as you go up the system. But it's terrible that you have to defend yourself and pay the expenses of defending yourself and filing appeals and stuff like that. But it's absolutely insanity. I just can't imagine how people think that way.
We talk about here at home and our laws, and we hear people say stand your ground,
right,
those kind of laws. Explain kind of like in a basic version what that means.
Well, you have a right to defend yourself against serious assault, injury, or threat of death. And you also have the right to defend somebody else with your stand your ground, or sometimes referred to as the castle law. Mm-hmm. You don't have to retreat. You can defend yourself in your home, in your business, and now out in the open, so to speak. The stand your ground law passed. And we've seen a few high-profile cases where that's kicked in, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a right to defend themselves or their loved ones. And
if that goes down, that video we saw, and what we've seen, the facts we know right now, there may be, you know, if that goes down here, that person's not being charged with second-degree murder.
Absolutely not. There's no way someone would be charged like that in Mobile County.
So, and it seems like, you know, and I understand that different laws, different states, but when you start looking at things like this, there has to be the law of the land in New York, you think is just being misinterpreted, or does the law say that you don't get, because, I mean, if you're living in a place that says, if you defend yourself from being killed, and you kill that person, you're now going to be charged with murder, I'm packing up the family and leaving.
Yeah, you just can't afford to live in communities like that refuse to grant basic constitutional protections to individuals. But I don't think it's the law enforcement. I think it's the progressive DAs that are bringing these charges. I saw nothing where New York PD or anything like that was pushing the case. It's these progressive DAs step in and demand that people be charged with certain offenses. And ironically, I think these progressives, the people that are the victims of so many of those crimes are many of the supporters of these progressives.
Right.
It impacts that liberal part of the wing of the group more so, I think, than others.
Yeah, I mean, who cares about who they voted for in the last election? People mm-hmm. want to be able to run a shop or walk down the street to go to the grocery store or get their kids off the bus. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't care who you vote for. I mean, that's
right, but it's also sending
being, you know,
it's sending terrible messages to law enforcement that we don't have your back, you know? And
yeah.
So, what, last week in Chicago were there 10 murders over the 4th of mm-hmm. July weekend and 68 shootings? And the police are just there to clean it up afterwards. But
that doesn't get the attention, Sheriff. We'll talk about since we've talked last, the another mass shooting, the one in Highland. But you just rolled out this, you know, you roll out stats that are just chronic gun violence.
Unbelievable. And this past month, we've had one of the busiest gun months I can ever recall. You know, we had the Buffalo shooting,
mm-hmm.
the Uvalde shooting, the Highland Park shooting. We had the Supreme Court come out with the ruling against New York, which I predicted that they mm-hmm. were overly restrictive for gun permits. But what'd you see New York did? Within a week, they passed a new law in the state legislature up there setting forth new standards. And one of the standards now, you're going to have to surrender your Facebook postings to be able to get a gun permit up there.
Yeah, I was looking at it going through with the assassination of Shinzo Abe in Japan.
Oh, my gosh,
this dirtbag that kills him builds this gun out of pipes and plank mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But I went through the Japanese gun laws, mm-hmm. what you have to... It was unbelievable to have a gun there. I mean, to the point that after you jump through all the hoops, law enforcement even comes to your house to see where you keep that registered weapon and where you keep in a separate ammunition.
Yeah, it's got a separately locked.
And they got to come sign off on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not all the same. But let's talk about that, too, in what the Supreme Court said and what now Congress has said. So Supreme Court's saying, New York, you're too restrictive. Congress has come out, and you know, people will air quote this, a bipartisan measure here
right.
for the new gun laws. And can you want to run through kind of what they're calling the bipartisan gun control bill? I mean, this is not specific to guns like the Clinton era ban,
right.
where I think they banned 10, and then, like I said, the rest of it was no flash suppressors, folding stocks, or bayonet mounts. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, remember that. Remember that.
Yeah,
that
I thought what Congress passed was a very reasonable compromise. I certainly support it. I mean, it's very reasonable that it creates the issue of red flag laws, which some people are being misled what they really say. Clearly, the 18 to 21 year old change for assault weapons, and mm-hmm. a lot of people don't realize a kid has a juvenile record. He turns 18, and his record is gone away. You know,
mm-hmm.
so But now this new law is going to require them to look at juvenile records, and I don't know how they're going to do it because so many states and counties and stuff like that don't keep proper juvenile records, or they don't keep them as criminal records, and so there's still going to be
really
a problem there. Yeah.
So, I mean, I've always thought, okay, they're sealed, but they exist somewhere. You're saying that...
Well, under the federal law that was passed, it would have to be, I think, criminal charges even as a juvenile, but some states don't even classify it as a criminal charge. You know, they charge it with some kind of status offense, and it's not even a criminal charge. So
if a youth, a minor, goes out and commits a robbery
mm-hmm.
it's not...
Some states wouldn't charge him with robbery. They would charge him with maybe just a dissident kid or something, you know, that, and so it wouldn't be on the record.
But they robbed somebody.
Absolutely right. And so, or at least some states that keep the records, you'll now see those records. If some kid's committed an armed robbery or serious assaults and stuff like that, at least you'll be able to look at that. And those, if they're crimes that would be felonies as an adult, then that can be used against them in prohibiting them from purchasing a firearm. Now, the red flag laws are just sort of what it sounds like. There's really two ways of doing it. Either the police make it based on probable cause, see someone's guns, and then go to court
mm-hmm.
and get a judge to sign off and keep the guns away from that individual for a period of time. Or you go to court ahead of time and get a warrant to seize the guns or weapons from an individual. I think I've always said it makes such good common sense. You know, you've got to show probable cause, and it saves lives, because a lot of these mass shooters, they're not mentally ill. They're mean as hell, mad as hell, but they're not mentally ill. And if you would have tried to commit them, many of them would not have been committed. But yet, if they go around saying, I'm going to kill all these people, I'm going to shoot the school up, you ought to be able to respond and take some action. Now, the federal law, as I understand it, passed that if they're suggesting red flag laws in Illinois, where the thing
mm-hmm.
broke,
Highland, yeah.
I think you can seize them for 6 months or something, but then you have to go over and have a whole new hearing, start all over if you want to keep the guns away from somebody for more than 6 months. But it's just common sense now.
But it's going to be different, right? Different states, because they gave $750 million to the states to set up their... So like Illinois or New York or California is going to, would we believe, have a different measure of what their red flag would be than, you know?
Yeah, every state's would be able to set it up themselves. And
is that worrisome, though, that if I'm in a left-leaning state and I'm a 2A kind of guy, and my posts are not about hurting anybody, but they're posts about rifles and handguns and shotguns and, you know, sights and all these things, do I get myself in a state where they go, oh, that's a red flag, he likes his rifle too much?
Well, again, in the different states, remember, we elect our officials in states, you know, and so so if you have that liberal-leaning state, you're probably going to have liberal-leaning mm-hmm. Judges and stuff. So it's but again, that's the way our country is founded, states' rights. And so if you don't like that state, move to another state. And but, you know, it's interesting to me that some people oppose the red flag laws, but law enforcement right here today, I could arrest you and I could hold you in jail for 72 hours without ever taking you before a judge. I can take away your freedom for 72 hours. I'm not trying to do that with guns. I'm just trying to take your guns away. I'm not trying to put you in jail. Just take mm-hmm. your guns away to protect you from yourself or from others.
And but I could bond
so
out.
Many family,
yeah.
So many family members, but I can keep you without a bond.
72
hours.
After that.
Yeah. But it's not like you don't already have certain freedoms that you have to give up, but I'd rather take a man's gun away than take his liberty away.
Right.
I mean, it's less restrictive.
I think people worry, and we can talk about this when we come back. I think people worry, though, that the final arbiter of this, mm-hmm. you got a judge,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, are can somebody make false accusations, put things together, and then your guns are removed, your Second Amendment right is infringed, all because of some...
Well,
baloney.
Someone can make those false allegations right now, and your liberty can be taken away from them. They can make a false assumption, swear under oath before a magistrate, and a warrant is issued, and you're put in jail.
Is there a recourse there if somebody makes a series of allegations to try to trigger a red flag law? And we'll see, you know, where we are in Alabama going forward. But if they do that and it's false and it's shown false, is there a recourse for that person?
There is, but the way our society works, as you well know, it's hard to obtain justice. You can file for false arrest, or you can file, you know, civil liability against someone making false statements against you, slandering you and stuff like that. But, you know, generally the people that make those statements have nothing to sue for.
Gotcha. Coming right back, more of Ask the Sheriff. Our guest, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, got folks on the phone at 343-0106. Also, your text coming in. We'll get these questions asked when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest. And we'll go to the phones first at 343-0106, 251-343-0106, plus some text coming in as well. First up is Gary in Mobile. You're on with Sheriff Cochran. Hey, Gary.
Hi, thanks, Sean. Hey, Sheriff, I have a question in general. It's like a generalized kind of question, but
sure.
As the average person driving around Mobile County in and about anywhere you want to be, and should I or anyone witness some egregious event, such as, here's a good one I've seen many times, a ladder in the middle of I-10, or building materials that fell out of the back of a contractor's truck and they're, you know, a hazard to navigation, or what I saw last week, a young mother riding around town with her child in the back seat, not in a car seat, and she was enjoying an adult beverage as she was driving down the road. Should we call 911? Should we call the sheriff? What's the proper, or should we do nothing?
No, I think you should call 911. And I think for many years, 911 was over hyped about only call it for an emergency, but quite frankly, the system is designed so well that, you know, what some people may think is not an emergency, it's still an urgent issue, and so 911 is the appropriate thing to call. And so, say that ladder in the roadway or some kind of other spill or something, if you call 911, then they have a direct link. If it's in the city of Mobile, they'll directly link it to the public works of the city of Mobile, and they've got crews that can respond to clean up things like that.
That's the best way
because they know how to.
A lot of stuff.
I know they know how to best to assimilate. They can take your message and send it to probably 100 different places that they're trained to know who to respond and pass it off to and get service that way. Even like right. You know a stop sign. Somebody runs over a stop sign at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, you could report that. That'll get to the public works department, and then they'll have a group come out and put up a new stop sign or something.
All right. Thanks, Sheriff.
You're welcome. Hey,
thanks, Gary. Appreciate the call. These lines open at 343-0106. Let's see. Okay, on red flag laws, a lot of texts coming in here. Some people saying that just in general, red flag laws or commie laws, people don't like red flag laws. Daniel says red flag laws deny due process to the individual. There's one that maybe you can react to instead of just that's.
Well,
a statement.
I mean, I know that's a hot issue, and again, I think people, the different people, have spoken so negatively against red flag laws. But again, I described two scenarios earlier, both of which would have due process. Either before your guns are taken away from you, you have a due process hearing before a judge, and if you get a warrant taken away, then you have another hearing after the guns are taken away where you go to protest your guns being taken away. But you know, these people say that if they had a family member that was murdered by some Looney Tune, they might would think differently. And we've got a lot of Looney Tunes out there. And so many of these cases, you know, there's all kinds of red flags ahead of time when we use that, not the red flag law, but they're throwing out red flags. That's,
yeah, if what, you go back, hindsight being
Cremo or something, you know?
Unfortunately, I call him Dirtbag, but yeah, yes.
He certainly was throwing red flags, making threats and all like that. And Illinois had a red flag law that would have applied in, quite frankly, they just dropped the ball because very well enforced there.
Right, so I can turn around and argue this, right, and we got to go to the break, but I'll say, hey, here's a state that has what to a lot of us seemed like very draconian gun laws and this red flag thing, and they didn't get this guy who made videos in a schoolroom kind of thing.
I think there's so much blowback and pushback against enforcing red flag laws that, you know, maybe the law enforcement are reluctant to use them.
All right, coming back, more of our conversation and your questions, your chance to ask the sheriff. Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Reminder, the FM, and we're going to talk about the app and the websites, too, with the Sheriff's Department. But let me plug for a second here. I'm going to plug our app, the FM Talk 106.5 app. If you get an iPhone, you go to the App Store. If you got an Android phone, you go to Google Play. Just type in FM TALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. I don't know. It messes up the search. So FMTALK 1065. See our logo pop up there. There's the app. It's free. Download it, and it gives you, number one, you can text us. You can call us from there. You can also leave us a talkback message. That's kind of cool. There's a microphone icon on the front screen where you're listening to the stream of the station. That's the first thing. You can listen to anywhere you got your phone signal, listen to the station. But you can press that button there and record a message, sends it to us when you play it back on the air. Show schedules in there. Of course, 56 hours a week of live local programming put up in podcast form. The first place it posts is right there. So you can check it out through the app. Plus a wealth of information coming through our social media and news feeds on there. So check it out, the FM Talk 106.5 app. Continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. I want to get to some more of these questions. By the way, they're asking, like always, you're staying on till, because they're saying they're celebrating. Thank you, Sheriff Cochran. When is
my
the last day?
January the 14th will be my last day in office.
Okay. All right. Because now y'all heard it, so I don't have to type back to everybody here. Yeah, and people saying your wisdom's going to be truly missed. That's a side conversation that you and I have had, and I know I've had with other folks in law enforcement. Just a side note, why it's important, we'll go back to this, why it's important to retain deputies in your case or officers in a police force's case because of that
institutional
wisdom.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
That's why you don't want an agency that has a lot of rapid turnover, because when you have that, you lose the institutional knowledge. Some patrolman that's been on the job or police officer 15, 20 years, he's able to teach this new younger officer and say, look, this particular family is known for crime. They're like generational criminals, and you see that. And so, you know, they pinpoint out who these people are, and so you don't have to learn it on your own. You just pass it on to others. And of course, there's all kinds of tricks of the trade, of investigations, and of course that's why I think the sheriff's office, we've got probably the finest major crimes unit I've ever been associated with all the years at the police department, now the sheriff's office. But you know, we've solved every homicide since 2016. We solved just about every other serious offense, and these guys are so talented. Sometimes I'll get this phone call and say, hey, Sheriff, this is a real whodunit. About 48 hours later, they say, hey, man, we got a break. We got this. We got that. All of a sudden, they've got a suspect in custody. I'm just like, my gosh, I can't believe it.
But that's that wisdom.
But it's been passed on. We've got – these are experienced guys, and they were trained by experienced guys, and that's why we're blessed at the sheriff's office to not have that major turnover that so many agencies are experiencing.
Also, in these situations where confronting somebody – the cool head of a seasoned officer or deputy. I've seen that. I got a lesson, gosh, 8-9 years ago on that, watching a Mobile police officer who was seasoned, mm-hmm. I'll say by age, and two that weren't as seasoned, interact with somebody, and watching how the seasoned officer dealt with it just so, like, as calmly as you would, like, pour a cup of coffee. He dealt with the situation where, you know, the young guys were maybe a little fired up. And he's like, hey, here's how you do it.
Yeah, I used to use this example about there's no perfect crime. And you know, after you've handled a couple of hundred robberies, you know kind of how a victim acts after they've been robbed, had a mm-hmm. gun put in their face. They act a certain way. And you can almost put them all in there. So all of a sudden you have this guy says, I was robbed, this and that. And you're like, this guy's acting strange. Just don't, mm-hmm. this don't fit. Next thing you know, you've got a fake robbery. Because, again, victims... there's a similarity of all types of victims, but they all run together. It's human nature. They're going to act similar ways. And so the same thing when an investigator goes to a crime scene, if the crime scene is too perfect, okay, mm-hmm. wait a minute, this is too perfect, you know, how could this possibly happen out? So it obviously points to the guy that's set forth this perfect alibi, you know,
right.
And all of a sudden it's too planned, you know. It's interesting the way that thing develops. But again, that's the institutional knowledge that experienced officers pick up through a lifetime.
Jessica's talking about gun violence in Mobile. Says, why in the port being addressed? How much is it related with drug deals or buying? how much drugs are coming into our port, feeding this. Why do they have a gun, the drug dealers? Moral citizens aren't killing each other. We have plenty of guns. What's causing the gun violence that our rights are up for grabs? Drugs, welfare, combination of both. Our port, what's coming in? What's the root of the problem?
Well, there's several roots of the problem. You can attack it from several different ways. All of this has sort of been predictable. It's coming, you know, just one. You know, guns became so predominant when President Obama was elected. People feared that he was going to do away with gun rights. Mm-hmm. Everybody ran out and bought guns. Every time there was a mass shooting, more people ran out and bought guns. But they put them in the automobiles and not lock them up. So I predict there's probably 10,000 stolen guns floating around the city, the county of Mobile that have
10,000.
Yeah, 10,000. Because we have thousands of reports of guns stolen out of vehicles, but we don't have the reports of the ones where Sean says, man, I left my car unlocked. I stole a gun. I'm not going to call the police and tell them because I'm going to look like a fool because I'm going to tell the police, yeah, I left my car unlocked. So those don't even get reported. Mm-hmm. Then most people don't retain their serial number. So these thousands of guns are floating around there. And now as you know, our criminals have become more violent, they all have access to guns. And what we're seeing—
And they didn't in the 80s? You don't think
well, there weren't as many guns out there. Okay. I mean, there's probably— in the 80s, there's probably 10 times more guns in the United States than there were in the 80s.
Right.
10 times more pistol handguns. But, you know, these dangerous criminals, they have access to these guns because they're stolen. And so they carry guns for protection. And most of the crime that we see in the city of Mobile especially is retribution. And it's becoming more and more difficult because when somebody gets shot and the police respond, they won't tell the police who shot.
Right, nobody knows anything. Yeah.
Nobody knows anything. They say, I'll take care of this myself. And what do you have? Another shooting 3 or 4 days later. And again, you find out that it's in retribution of that. And so now the DA's office has problems prosecuting these crimes 2 and 3 and 4 years ago where the witnesses are saying, I ain't coming to court. No,
right.
No. And they've lost interest in telling the truth about what they saw. You know, you may have recorded a statement at the time because they were still part of that, you know, instantly scared at the time, and they said, I can't believe he shot at me.
Right.
And now, 2 or 3 years later, you know, feelings have changed and relationships have changed, and so it's difficult to get someone to come to court to testify that you saw somebody shoot somebody because you say, well, if he shot him, they'll sure shoot
me. Well, that gets back to a root of it, too, though. I would think that I'm trying to figure out, instead of just saying that's wrong, because I agree with you that that's wrong, but getting to the root of it, and part of it has to be that if I witness this and I tell law enforcement that, now I'm a target, and y'all can't be everywhere. I mean, I'm not trying to excuse it, but there's a reason for it, right?
And that's right, and it's very difficult, and that's what the law enforcement is challenged with. We've got to keep building that relationship of trust within the community to where if I say, Sean, if you'll testify, we're going to protect you. We're going to take care of you. Well, if I say that to you, then by God, I better do just
but
that.
But you can't be with me all day long, every day.
No, but the first time someone makes a threat against you, we need to aggressively go out and arrest anybody that makes a threat against a witness. That's second only to the crime itself. I mean, that's how we need to treat it, second only to the crime itself. If someone makes a threat or infers a threat, you know, we need to take swift, quick action. And, though, our system needs to be swifter, too. When somebody commits a crime, we don't need these cases hanging around 2, 3, 4 years before they get
to trial.
That's
what we're looking at now here.
Exactly. We've got to do – the system has got to work better. And I'm not blaming any individuals in the system. It's the whole system needs to be fixed. It needs to be improved from – you know, that's how our system works. There's like 8 players at the table. From the police to the DAs to the judges to the probation officers to the Department of Corrections to the legislators that pass these laws, all these people need to be at the table and they all need to be responsible.
Now, and Jessica had come back and talked about drugs. This retribution stuff often is at the core of the drug trade, isn't it?
Right. A lot of it is at the core of the drug trade, but some of it's not at the core of the drug trade.
Okay.
Some of it was just pure territorial
Hatfields and McCoys.
Yeah. Just, I mean, one family kills another family member, and a lot of times there's a three-way situation where it's involving 2, 3 different families, and you know, your family and goes and you recruit some of your friends to go help you kill somebody, and now you've got 2 or 3 other families involved because you know the different family members that participate in the crime, and so now it just grows. But at the end of the day, this is what's so surprising. It's really a small percentage. But they're responsible for so much of the killings.
Well, and the thing that has set me off you know, so many times. Like, it's all bad because having any kind of murders and violence going on, it's bad. But the thing that puts me is just like what we had in June, May and June here, with the children that are being killed because the thugs want to shoot it out. You know, I like when bad guys shoot bad guys, I don't want the gunplay. I'm not saying I'm okay with it, but it's a way different level of my reaction than when I hear about a 14-year-old or a 9-year-old that's murdered, or a 3-year-old.
So we've gone from somebody searching you out and shooting you to where now, instead of searching out and purposely getting right up there and shooting you, they'll do a drive-by and just, you know, these high-velocity magazines and stuff, they'll just randomly shoot 20, 30, 40 shots into a house thinking eventually one of those bullets will hit them. And, you know, you have to ask the question, why some of these victims it keeps happening to over and over? And I saw something on the news this morning where a lady was saying her house had been shot up 2 or 3 times and showing the hose and the air conditioning, this and that. And she's, but, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm saying, okay, well, who in your house is the target, lady? You know, instead of moving places, you need to figure out, okay, why are they targeting your family?
Well, it's something that having Sergeant Young on here and Chief Prine a lot from MPD, and a discussion, something that was said, I think it was Sergeant Young said, in like interviews with shooters they had afterwards after arresting, and asked something to the effect of, you don't feel any remorse shooting into a house that could have, you know, innocent people in it? They said no. Then they turned it around and said, well, what if somebody did that at your mother or grandmother's house? Mm-hmm. Would you have a problem? They said, nah, it's just part of the thing. So at that point, I think it's like a lost generation. If it's so bad that you wouldn't defend your mother or grandmother, right, if it doesn't bother you if their houses get shot up, somebody looking for you, I don't get – that's that last thread you think you would have to reason with somebody. Said, right, you wouldn't let somebody hurt your mother or grandmother, would you?
Remember how brazen the comments were by, I think his name was Honeycomb Brazy or something, when his grandparents were killed in the fire and shot? He said, hey, part of my lifestyle, that's because of me. But he was brazenly just non-apologetic.
That's where, I throw my hands up, I don't understand. Go to the phones here. Jim is in Mobile. You're on with Sheriff Cochran. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Sean. Hey, thanks for doing this little public service thing every month, Sheriff.
Thank you.
A quick question, and you may have answered it, and I got out of the truck, but if you see, I want to say suspicious activity, I ride around the south part of the county on some dirt roads and stuff like that. I notice in one particular place, the dudes are always outside their trailer, and half the time I have to ride around a car parked in the dirt road, and if it's not parked there, there'd be a truck parked down the road somewhere waiting to pull up, and who do I discuss something like that with?
Probably what you're describing is a narcotics transactions and stuff like that. And I would suggest you just call directly into either the county narcotics unit or the Mobile Police Department narcotics unit. And
it would be the county. And believe me, down here in the south part of the county, it's better. I see there's a whole lot more presence of your guys down this way. But, you know, it's like a whack-a-mole thing, I guess.
It is, and quite frankly, you know, the more information we receive, the old squeaky wheel gets the oil, you know, and so it's not a lost effort. And you can actually go to our website, MobileCountySO.com, and you can send in the tips there, and we have a record of every tip that comes in, and we manage it to say, okay, what did we do about this? And so we've got a pretty good system, and, you know, we may not be able to do anything on the first tip, but sooner or later, hopefully, we'll eventually get around to it. But
I appreciate that. Yeah, this road would lend itself to being blocked off from both ends, so it's just a straight through road. And the guys this morning, I noticed they were dealing with one dude, and I came back by, and it was another car, and there's another car running down the road. But anyway.
Sounds like you made out of the road. Yeah. So Jim needs to call.
Yeah, well, go on our website and just send in a tip on our post it on our website.
Okay.
I mean, it's private. You know,
I appreciate your time, fellas.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jim.
One more here before we go to the news, and because Buck had asked this earlier, why doesn't the sheriff's department police the left lane? And I guess he maybe is asking about people not getting over in the left lane. Is that something y'all do? Don't do? That's
We don't do a lot of traffic enforcement except on special things. But now, the law is, and it's only on the interstates, but it is on the interstate. If a person stays in the left lane, and I know I get as frustrated as this guy, but they, you know, the law is something you've got to pass so many cars left or something, and and within a mile and a half, or if not, then you're violating the law. And the troopers enforce that, but it's still a problem. And I passed a guy the other day. Just I can't imagine. He's just sitting there just hard-headed like he just wasn't going to move.
I see that, the hard-headed ones, and I see the ones that seem completely disconnected from the fact that they're driving a motor vehicle. Like they're just kind of there and holding onto a wheel.
And usually when you pass them on the right side, you look over and they're playing on the phone.
Yeah, a lot of times. Coming right back, more with Sheriff Sam Cochran right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:54, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, our guest. A lot of questions here. This is every time you're in here, so I'm going to ask it again. So I think it's Bob here says, what does the sheriff have planned starting on January 15th and beyond? Can you elaborate?
I have lots of hobbies. I do. I enjoy gardening. I enjoy fishing. I enjoy reading. Number of things. I like to say tinker, and I'm the most expensive plumber or electrician there is, because I'll spend hours and hours trying to fix something, and I'll fix it, I'll give up and call somebody that comes out and does it in an hour.
Yeah, because then you have to pay the I've had to do that before. They said you're now having to pay extra stupid tax, Sean, because you want
that
to fix
it. Called? Yeah, yeah,
because you're trying to fix it. You mentioned a second ago to, I think it was Jim, to go on the website to report things. Talk about that, because I know y'all use social media a lot in what you do.
Yeah, we live by social media. I mean, we put out stuff, who's wanted, you know, we put out videos of crimes, you know, everybody's got a doorbell camera now, it seems like.
Yeah, somebody was asking earlier, how important are doorbell cameras to solving crimes?
Solved so many crimes. So many crimes have been solved. Because even if the doorbell camera house is not a victim, but somebody down the street, generally you're going to get a video of that guy walking down the street or some kind of connection evidence. And so they're really beneficial and stuff like that. So we have, you know, we do Instagram and Twitter and we have a Facebook page. And then, of course, the sheriff's office, mobileso.com.
Is that where you go to do the reporting?
Yes, yes. You do it on that website where you can, you know, anonymously give us information. And, you know, more times than not, people's instincts are correct. I mean, when you think, okay, they're up, like that gentleman earlier said, you know, I see these cars. You know, he's right. I mean, 90% of the times, a person's instincts are correct. I mean, it's based on human nature. We know. And so when they tip us off, sometimes it may be not enough information we can actually act on. But that, combined with other tips, eventually gives us enough information where we can act on something. And I love it when somebody gives us a tip, we're able to act on it, do something. That person just loves the fact that, hey, I helped solve that crime.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So they get the benefit of knowing it, too.
Yeah, that public safety was achieved.
Exactly. And they were able to do it without any threats of violence or anything.
Well,
it's what it's about. We've got to police ourselves, you know. And of course, if somebody – likewise, if an officer or deputy does something wrong, we the citizens are our eyes and ears. I mean, a deputy's not going to – do something in front of other deputies, perhaps, you know, because, right. you know, he's not going to do it, something wrong. But he might do it in front of a citizen. Well, if you say, look, this guy was extremely rude, this and that, well, that one case in and of itself may not be. But let's say Sean and then John and somebody says, hey, this deputy did this, and these people don't know each other. Well, we know we've got a problem, an attitude problem.
Yeah, and you've said that before.
So we depend on the citizens to help us police ourselves as well.
Because I think the question I asked you months and months and months ago, does it really matter if I call in a complaint on a deputy? And you said this, that I don't know that you might have three or four other, you know, or a
That's
couple
right.
other similar stories from other people, and bingo, that now we've got a pattern.
Exactly, exactly. And
so it is valuable.
Oh, it is valuable, and over time, and I don't want to call anybody's name out, but I've had a situation in the last couple of years where we knew this deputy was getting more and more, but eventually, now that person's gone. And you know, it catches up to them, and we are responsible for policing ourselves.
All right. Before we wrap up here, just a couple seconds left. You gonna be down on the south end of the county this weekend, or y'all gonna be?
I'm not sure yet. Okay. You know, I don't know if I'm gonna get in those crowds or not, but I hope they have some carve out a little bit of good weather. I don't know. I think rain's forecast, isn't it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, but the fish are wet anyway, Sheriff. I mean, they don't care.
As long as it's not lightning, there's nothing feels better right now than be out in a nice, cool rainstorm, as long as it's not lightning.
No hot rain. No electric rain, but other than that, it's good stuff.
Well, I hope they have a great rodeo this year.
Yep, 89th. And it's still on, by the way, if y'all didn't hear the announcement earlier. Blue Marlin Grand Championship has been postponed till next week. But the 89th Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo with the Liars Contest starting Thursday night is still on, and I'll keep going with that until I hear differently. Remember, Midday Mobile, we're live Friday and Saturday from the rodeo. Sheriff, good to see you.
Thanks for having me, John. I enjoy it. I learn a lot.
Always a pleasure. We'll see you next month.
Yes, sir.